Bit of Janis Joplin to kick off this edition of The Song Is You with our special guest, Diane B. Diane, welcome.
Well, I am thrilled to be here. Gave me an excuse to listen to music that I might not have listened to in the past little while. So it was fantastic.
Janis Joplin, has it been a while with her
version
of Summertime?
Well, Janis Joplin, you know, I chose this as the first one for several reasons. You couldn't leave out Janis. I mean, she sort of molded my taste when she was in her heyday. And it was my father's favorite song. Of course, not her version, some beautiful Gershwin version. But I think everything about it, and of course, it's hot and it's muggy and it's summertime, and nobody sings it better than she does. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're recording this in the heat of summertime with Diane B. And by the way, this episode of The Song Is You is sponsored by Books and Books in West Hampton Beach. And we thank them so much for their support of our program here. And with Diane B., who is so well known, what was the decade that you were really... You know, work in the fashion industry.
I guess the 80s. You'd have to say the 80s. And I think you'll pick up on the 70s and the 80s by my favorite music here. But in the 80s is when fashion was great, when...
It's no longer great?
Well, it's corporate now. You know, it's about money. The world is small. There's nothing new. You know, if there's one thing new, it's everywhere in 2 weeks. It's a different world, you know? And it's a world of everybody has a stylist and six managers and five of this and three of that. And I don't know. I think it's much harder to make things happen than it was then, before all of that money culture and layers of people culture and everybody cashing in on every little idea culture. So I was very, very happy that I had my fashion days, when fashion was really fashionable and really stylish and really individual.
Weren't you responsible? You were one of the first people to bring over fashions from Asia?
From Japan. Issey Miyake and Comme des Garçons were my treasures, you could say. From the mid-70s, I had my own store on Madison Avenue. And then in the early 80s, I was the first sort of uptown store to go to Soho. And there was nothing in Soho. It was nothing like it
really?
Is. It was just, there were a few art galleries. Pace was there. Paula Cooper was there. I mean, there were a few art galleries. There were lots of artist lofts. And there were, you know, some funky secondhand, you know, chic secondhand stores. But there was no expensive fashion.
Mm.
And so when I opened on West Broadway, my next door neighbor was Leo Castelli. It was fantastic. And
but you were expensive fashion, right?
Well, yes. Issey Miyake was expensive. Yes. Jean-Paul Gaultier was expensive. I mean, they were expensive, but they were fabulous.
Yeah.
The same week, this was a coincidence, that my store opened in 1982, the first store in Soho, Art Forum put this gorgeous bamboo construction by Issey Miyake on the cover of Art Forum. So it was like this embrace of art and fashion. And, you know, and they're talking about it now, art and fashion, like it's some new idea. But, you know, it's not a new idea.
Everything new is old again, right?
Everything new is old.
I got to ask you, was Janis Joplin fashionable in your mind?
Well, I was a little prim in the 60s.
You were prim?
I was a little prim, you know, when I was in college and everything.
You're like so out there now, and you wear different colors and styles. And yeah.
Well, it's evolved, you know. Let's just say it's evolved. And I guess I didn't come to New York until 1970.
From Baltimore?
From Baltimore. And
Was Janis...
Oh, Janis, she was Janis Joplin. She started a new thing. I mean, she was the ultimate woman out there. She was if there was a fabulous hippie, it was Janis Joplin. I mean, she invented herself and the whole genre, as far as I could see.
I think Eric Fischel, who did this show a couple of weeks ago, off of his new book called Bad Boy, which I highly recommend.
Oh, which I have read.
You've read it?
I have read every word.
Didn't you love how he described, being standing alongside Janis Joplin and saying he was beside this woman who had the most amazing breasts he'd ever seen in his life? And that's the Bad Boy, Eric Fischel, but so true, I guess. So she was fashionable in her own right.
Oh,
you know?
She wasn't. You know, she was an original.
She was an original.
She was an original. And I think this next song we're going to hear is by another one. I mean, these original women were very influential to me. Especially to me, they were, absolutely. You know, I mean, it was about freedom. I mean, the next song that we're going to hear is from Patti Smith. And when I saw this picture of Patti Smith that Robert Mapplethorpe took, with this funky hair and this little black tie and this kind of this androgyne look, and this, I was just totally like knocked over. And at that time I didn't know who she was and I didn't know who he was. And
it almost didn't matter. That picture is emblematic.
And I ran right to Sinandre and I said, "You have got to give me this, find a way to give me this hair." So
this is Patti Smith.
Patti Smith's hair. And then when this album, Horses, I mean, it was the cover of Horses, and it's such a fantastic bunch of music. I mean, you know.
I love the song you chose.
I love this song. I love the spirit and the concept of this song.
Oh, please, Free Money, who doesn't?
Every night before I go to sleep, find a ticket, win a lottery, scoop the pearls up from the sea, cash them in and buy you all the things you need. Every night before I rest my head, see those dollar bills go swirling in my bed. I know they're stolen, but I don't feel bad. I take that money, buy you things you never had. Oh, baby.
On a high plane to a jet stream and take you through the stratosphere and check out the planet them and take you down deep where it's hot, hot in Arabia, baby, then cool, cold in fields of snow, and we'll roll, train, roll, train, roll, roll, train, train. When we dream it, when we dream it, when we dream it.
From that microphone. Whoa. Patti Smith.
Patti Smith. She is something, you know, and there's a thing that runs through much of what I really love that's about words and about poetry and about, you know, I'm a huge Bob Dylan fan. I mean, it's so many things that I like. You can, you know, you can read and not even hear. And so the element of the music and the guts and the words and the, is what, you know, really turns me on.
Yeah, but I love that the visual got you first, though. It was very interesting seeing the photograph of Patti Smith. And so we're talking what time? Late 70s?
This was the late 70s.
Yeah. And this is, she was part of the sort of,
well, you know,
emerging punk rock.
Well, she was sort of, she was a poet. And I sort of knew some people and, you know, hung around a little bit at the Poetry Project at St. Mark's Church, where I eventually was on the board. And, you know, and when it was when, you know, Allen Ginsberg was still alive and everybody, you know, Jimmy Schuyler was still alive. Everybody was still alive. And Patti Smith was like one of the new poets. Mm. And she still actually goes on New Year's Day at St. Mark's Church. They have a poet-a-thon every New Year's Day. And I think it's the 39th year or something.
Oh, my gosh.
And Patti still goes every New Year's and
didn't,
performs.
Didn't her memoir win the National Book Award?
Yes,
right?
Just Kids.
Just Kids.
About she and Robert Mapplethorpe and their how they came together and how they funked around on the streets of downtown and how they made their art and formed the. And, you know, they had a fantastic, all kind, you know, a big relationship that was included everything. You know, he was a notorious gay man, but they were madly in love and had a passionate relationship. And, you know, and then I went on to work with, you know, in 1981, 82, I worked with Robert Mapplethorpe. I mean, you know, I had my stores and I asked him if he would take pictures for my advertising. This is when you just talked. When, you know, Diane talked to Robert, and you just talked, and you went over to Bond Street, and you chatted, and I brought an outfit. And
so you didn't have agents, you didn't have go-betweens,
nothing.
Wow.
And I would pay them $500 to do an ad. $500, that was my only price, and it was very exciting. And then I would put these pictures in Interview when it was really Interview, when it was, this was the early 80s, when it was really Andy Warhol's Interview. And that was, of course, you can imagine that I never had a hugely successful commercial business because it was all about the visuals and the art of it and the love of it and the passion of it, you know?
How exciting. So we're here with Diane B. on The Song Is You and just heard Janis Joplin back-to-back with Patti Smith, some of Diane B.'s all-time favorites. And I have to just interject that you just agonized over this.
Oh, yes.
And I love that. it's a tough job,
isn't it?
It's
a very tough job.
Narrowing it down to 10 of your
acceptance. Then within the, then you say, okay, I have to include Patti Smith. Which one? You know, I have to include, the hardest one was Bob Dylan, you know.
Which one?
With this canon of work that, you know, these volumes of work, one, and, you know, so I can chart my whole life with, or much of my life through Bob Dylan's music, you know, imagining where I was, everything from the front porch of the house I grew up in when I came home from college, you know. That, you know, to on as my life changed and my world got bigger and smaller and, you know, as my life evolved, that Bob Dylan was always there.
Well, why don't we hear some Bob next?
In fact, you
chose a later Bob Dylan.
Yes. So I've chosen a later Bob Dylan because I just couldn't decide about the earlier ones. I've chosen this one called Things Have Changed that he wrote, I think, in the end of the 90s or the maybe just at the millennium.
It's when I first came to Bob Dylan and loved him because I never was a big fan. But this did it.
Well,
it changed me.
I heard this song on the radio. I said, that's Bob Dylan's voice. And he hadn't made anything new or anything new that I was listening to in a long time. And I just went crazy for it. And my life was sort of changing at the same time. And it just seems like the right song because it's still, and it's still that wild, fantastic poet, Bob Dylan.
Champagne. Got white skin, got assassin's eyes. I'm looking up into the sapphire tinted skies. I'm well dressed, waiting on the last train. Stand
standing on the gallows with my head in the news. Any minute now I'm expecting all hell to break loose. People are crazy at times, I swear. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. This place ain't doing me any good. I'm in the wrong town. I should be in Hollywood. Just for a second there, I thought I saw something move. Gonna take dancing lessons to the jitterbug rag. Ain't no shortcuts. Gonna dress in drag. Only a fool here would think you've got anything to prove. A lot of water under the bridge, a lot of other stuff too. Don't get up, gentlemen, I'm only passing through. People are crazy, times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. I've been walking 40 miles, a bad road. If the Bible is right, the world will explode. I've been trying to get as far away from myself as I can. Some things are too hot to touch. The human mind can only stand so much. You can't win with the losing hand. Feel like falling in love with the first woman I meet. Putting her in a wheelbarrow and wheeling her down the street. People are crazy, times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed.
Things have changed. Bob Dylan and Diane B on the song is you. So.
Well, this really signified a life change for me. Just about at the same time, my life changed course, and I fell madly in love with a woman named Liz Marigold.
Hey, Liz.
Hi, honey. And we are together now, and have been, and so this was I guess you could say it's our anthem.
Your anthem,
in a way.
Things have changed.
Things have changed,
and it was used in a couple of films, like Modern Times.
Well, he wrote it for this film Wonder Boys with Michael Douglas.
I love that movie.
Which Bob Dylan does so many, you know, he collaborates in such straight, you never know what he's going to do next. So,
is it kind of like you? Does that reflect you?
Well, I would love to be as diverse and brilliant as Bob Dylan, but
wouldn't we all? But music has really, really been a strong part of your life, right?
Very much so.
And including, I mean, you know, we're here with Diane B, who's been a fashion designer and in that industry and known so many greats. But you also, I mean, one of your best friends is Robert Wilson. And you are huge fan of the stage. And
yes, well, and you know I'm a very big fan of Shakespeare, as yes. We appeared in yes. Macbeth together. Yes. And
are we allowed to say
our,
that? Are we allowed to say that?
Oh,
the Scottish play.
The
okay,
Scottish
yes,
play,
yes.
Excusez-moi.
Yes, Diane B was witch number one. So we followed her. We followed her lead. You were magnificent.
We were a good trio.
And the whole
cast. Yes, I love the theater. I love music. I was sorry, you know, there was I had to pick my top 10. There's so many great things from Broadway that I love and classical music that I love. But when you have to whittle it down to what is your really your favorite, usually they're things that like make me move. So
Hedwig makes you move?
Oh, Hedwig and the Angry Inch. I love this.
Yes.
I love it. I mean, when I saw it in its first incarnation, when it was somewhere down there on 13th Street in the West, when the Meatpacking District did not have a Chanel store, when it was the Meatpacking District, and it was quite notorious. And it was in some sort of like rigged up basement theater, and then it went on and it went off Broadway, and then it went, I don't know if the original ever went to Broadway, but it moved and it played in New York for years with John Cameron Mitchell.
Who wrote it, right?
Who wrote it, who's brilliant.
And you say that it's being reincarnated?
It is being... A film has been made about that, I think is sort of an under-the-radar, one of those culty films. And next season, or 2014, it is coming to Broadway with Neil Patrick Harris as Hedwig. So, which...
Now, see, I'm used to Hedwig in Harry Potter, because that's the name of his owl. His snowy white owl, Hedwig. Ah. But it's the German, because it's a German story, right?
Yes.
Hedwig.
So a Hedwig. So I think it's going to be quite a smash.
Okay.
We have I know all this inside information because we have a friend who's a producer, and she's just been behind Kinky Boots, which we know is a huge hit, fantastic for her. And the next thing she's in on that she's producing is this Hedwig.
Okay, so set the scene. This is the origin of love.
This is Hedwig is a transsexual who is longing to fit in the world, find his place in the world. And he's enormously talented, and he follows some strange form of Gnostic religion and all sorts of things. And anyway, this is his origin of the species, and it's really great.
When the earth was still flat, clouds made of fire, the mountains stretched up to the sky, sometimes higher. Folks roamed the earth like big rolling kegs. They had two sets of arms, they had two sets of legs, they had two faces peering out of one giant head, so they could watch all around them as they talked while they read. And they never knew nothing of love. It was before all the origin of love. And there was three sexes then, one that looked like two men glued up back to back. They called the children of the sun, and similar in shape and girth was the children of the earth. They looked like two girls rolled up in one, and the children of the moon was like a fork stuck on a spoon. They was pot sun, pot earth, pot door, and pot sun. Quite scared of our strength and defiance, and Thor said, I'm gonna kill them all with my hammer, like I killed the giants. But Zeus said, no, you better let me use my lightning like scissors, like I cut the legs off the whales, dinosaurs into lizards. And then he grabbed up some bolts, he let out a laugh, said, I'll split them right down the middle, gonna cut them right up in half. And then fire shot down from the sky.
The Origin of Love, Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
So everybody should look forward to that. The music is fantastic.
Wow.
I couldn't decide which one to play.
Neil Patrick Harris is doing it.
And Neil Patrick Harris.
In 2014.
Anyway, you'll hear about it. It's going to be on Broadway.
The Angry Inch is what's left over
after his
botched
trans
operation.
Yeah, his botched trans operation.
And it's angry, huh?
And it's mad.
Oh, it's mad.
It's mad. But but he overcomes.
Oh, don't we all?
And he dresses up, boy. He really, or he, she. You know, I'm always confused about the pronoun.
Have you overcome, Diane B?
What does that mean?
Have you overcome? You said Hedwig and overcomes in the story. Have you, in your life?
Overcome.
Yeah.
Well.
Challenges?
Well, I suppose this life change that I made from the straight world to being with a woman was a total readjustment for everybody around you, you know? You're perceived as an alien person all of a sudden by, you know, the people in my world. I was with the same, on and off, for almost 30 years. And, you had a whole world in place. And it was a big world. It was a very international world. And so everybody that knew me in that world perceived me one way. And then suddenly I did something that was... It seemed more radical in 2001 than it seems today, of course. I mean, 12 years later, the world is so different.
Well, Bob Dylan's song, Things Have Changed,
changed. But, you know, I mean, the idea that now gay marriage is just the most acceptable thing in town. You know, it's just acceptable everywhere. It's unbelievable. Mm. It's a huge leap in...
One of the biggest of your life?
Well, I would say that as a definitive single thing, it was the biggest thing in my life.
Right. Diane B. with us on The Song Is You and playing some of her favorite things. And by the way, this edition of The Song Is You is sponsored by Books and Books, West Hampton Beach. They're a sponsor for a few of our shows. What's a book you're reading now?
Well, I just finished reading the Eric Fischer Bad Boy book.
Wasn't it great?
Well, I thought it was great. I thought the way he examined himself was really interesting and very revealing.
Very revealing.
You know, very, very revealing. And of course, I appreciate his work. I always loved his work, but I appreciate it about 10 times more.
And now I get the title Painting. Even
yes,
more.
Of course.
After reading.
Of course.
For those of you who don't know it, Google Bad Boy Eric Fischel, and take a look at it.
Yes.
Because
very
cool.
Very, very cool.
In the meantime, though, we got more music. And talk about someone who made a departure in his life with this next recording, right?
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm McLaren.
Oh, Malcolm McLaren. Now, this is maybe something not everybody knows about. But after the 70s and after the Sex Pistols and after all that part of his career, which was fantastic.
He was a Sex Pistol.
No, he named the Sex Pistols. He found Johnny Rotten. I mean, he and Vivian Westwood made that store in London, I guess in the mid-70s called Sex, that had the first razor blade earrings. And it was the beginning of that, hair, of the colored hair, everything. It was the first time, at least, I had ever seen it. I think it was the beginning. It was
beginning.
The beginning.
Yeah.
And then he went on. So, you know, I always thought that was fascinating, but it wasn't really my look or my thing. But then he went on and he's a real man of music. And he made, in the 80s, he made this album called Fans, in which he took rock and roll and he changed Madame Butterfly and Carmen and La Boheme. It's like a rock version of these operas, and it was fantastic. And then I think maybe in the 90s, he made this thing called Paris that is like this love song to Paris.
But he does it with Catherine Deneuve.
The one we're going to hear is he and Catherine Deneuve singing what I think is one of the sexiest songs I have ever, ever, ever heard.
Le shaker, d'abord de l'élégance, un trait de Sacré-Cœur et deux doigts de douaneau, une piaffe, quelques moineaux et Joséphine Baker.
Last night was made.
Mais des trois notes de jazz dans un quartier latin, un menu sans ardoise, au fond d'un bar tabac et la résine d'un bar sur un jeune comptoir.
Where were you?
Oh, babe. Just take my frozen hand and hear me say, don't let me turn to sand and blow away through this crowded desert.
De Moulin Rouge et deux de Notre-Dame, nappés de macadam, décorés d'un chaland d'Anvers ou d'Amsterdam, au canal.
Are you?
Arletty.
Oh, babe, just hold this lonely fan and hear him say, don't let me turn to sand and blow away.
Arletty, sans doute la seule femme
through this crowded desert.
Qui pouvait lui dire,
Paris,
pas l'âme. Mettez trois notes de jazz dans un quartier latin, une main sur la loise, au fond d'un bar tabac, et la résine tabac sur un jeune qu'on croise.
Oh, Diane, Diane, you are the first person, I think, in the history of my doing this show to choose Gustav Mahler.
Wow.
Well, that music, of course, underscored the Visconti Death in Venice film, which I think that was another life-changing thing. And when I saw the film, I had never been to Venice. Mm-hmm. And then I became obsessed with Venice and with this music.
Because of the film?
Because of the film, because of the book, because of, you know, it's such a fantastic, and Venice has been this most desirable place in the world to me ever since. And I've had the fortune to be there all times of the year, you know, in the snow, in the rain. We actually went last summer with our daughter, Skye, who was 17 last summer, and we went to Venice. We went in the summer, where I'm not sure I had ever been in the summer with all the tourists, but because, you know, she is in school and we had no choice. And she wanted to go to Venice and we wanted to go to Venice together. And so, and it was unbelievably moving, just as moving with all the tourists and just as romantic and just as, you know, it's awe-inspiring.
It is, right? So many people I've talked to about it, and I had the same experience when I first sat in St. Mark's Square. I cried. You just weep from the history and the beauty and the ancient, the ruins and the all of it, the mold and the people and the
everything,
water,
the
everything.
Smells and the everything.
Unbelievable. So this comes from the movie Death in Venice, but it's the Adagietto, the slow movement from the Symphony No. 5 by Mahler. And chosen by Diane B., our guest here on the Songs You. We're running out of time. We got to get moving.
Oh.
Now, this next performance and songs, actually back-to-back, one's a reading, one's a song, right?
Well, these are by Tom Waits, and this is my homage. I had to put in something from Bob Dylan, something from Bob Marley, though we might not get to it, and something from Bob Wilson, Robert Wilson, who is who I adore, and I've been involved in his foundation and his Watermill Center for a long, since its beginning. And so it was very hard to choose what, and I was going to slip in a little Einstein on the Beach, but you know, that takes really, you have to get into it. So this is from a production that Bob Wilson made in the 90s with Tom Waits and William Burroughs. Only Bob Wilson could bring them together, called The Black Rider, that is just fantastic. The first thing you're going to hear, the words are by William Burroughs, and it's Tom Waits singing. It's called That's the Way.
And then I'll Shoot the Moon.
I'll Shoot the Moon, another one of my romantic love songs, but only Tom Waits style.
That's the way the stomach rumbles. That's the way the bee bumbles. That's the way the needle pricks. That's the way the glue sticks. That's the way the potato mashes. That's the way the pan flashes. That's the way the market crashes. That's the way the whip lashes. That's the way the teeth gnashes. That's the way the gravy stains. That's the way the moon wanes. The moon right out of the sky for you, baby. All the pennies on your eyes for you, baby. I wanna take you out to the fair. Here is a red rose.
a wand on here, call me. You know the number. How many times have I given you my number? And still you don't call me. Okay. One more time. 893-400-6290-0426-290-0426-31-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00-00
That's Tom Waits and Robert Wilson.
Well, Robert Wilson created the Black Rider from scratch. I mean, it's a real Robert Wilson. It's a fantastic visual spectacle. Tom Waits, and then he went on to do an Alice in Wonderland with Tom Waits. That's extraordinary.
Alice in Wonderland. Wait, yes.
You hear this?
Yes.
Coming up, a new Robert Wilson, Tom Waits, Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, yes. Oh. I don't know exactly when. Sometime in 2014, I think.
That's fab.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So when Robert Wilson, we don't have much time left, but when Robert Wilson does stories that have already been told,
like Peter
does he stick close to the story, or does it become a Robert Wilson thing?
It becomes a Robert Wilson.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Well, we've got some more cool music with Diane B. David Byrne and Brian Eno. You had
yes,
to play some
My
Jezebel.
Life in the Bush of Ghosts. When I got my first iPod, it was the first thing I put on my iPod. And I thought, so we have to have a little of this. It is so fabulous and so tribal and so out there. And it's just great.
It's the Jezebel spirit. The Jezebel spirit from My Life in the Bush of Ghosts.
My Life in the Bush of Ghosts.
David Byrne and Brian Eno.
Yeah,
huh?
I couldn't decide, you know, which David Byrne, I mean, which Talking Heads, which Brian. Anyway, I thought that was some. Reminded me of two of Bonnie Grice, and I thought, if she didn't know that music, she needed to know it.
I need to know that. So this is the beauty of this song is you, you know. We invite people to come in and play their favorites, and we get to know music we need to know that we haven't heard before. This is great. David Byrne goes disco. I love it. And with us, Diane B., we're going to wrap up. We always ask our guests to pick a guilty pleasure. This one is going to, is this going to rock people's worlds? They're not going to believe it.
Well,
right?
You know, this is really showing my age, Elvis Presley. But this is Elvis Presley actually in his Las Vegas later years. But I think he must have done it for something that was highly American or for the 4th of July. But I think it is the most patriotic thing I have ever heard. So I hope you all will really love it. And nobody can sing like Elvis Presley. He just...
Amen.
It just is it, you know?
Diane B., thank you. Thank you so much for being a guest
love
on our
being
show.
Here.
Thanks. The Song Is You is sponsored by Books & Books West Hampton Beach, Long Island's destination independent bookstore at 130 Main Street in West Hampton Beach. At Books & Books, you'll find the latest best-selling novels, cookbooks, memoirs, coffee table books, and more, along with hand-picked bookseller favorites, a bustling children's section, and a staff that knows books inside and out. More information at 631-998-3260 and booksandbookswhb.com.
The Song Is You, produced and hosted by Bonnie Grice. Engineering and post-production by Kyle Lynch. Follow us on Facebook. The Song Is You is a production of BLG Productions and WPPB, Peconic Public Broadcasting.
Dixieland, I'll take my stand to live, and I for Dixieland, it's where I was born. Early Lord, one frosty morn, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.